Good morning, church. It's so good to be back with you. I was here probably about 5 years ago. We worked it out, Jill and I, Jill Gifford and myself. I was with Jill and Skippy about 10 days ago, and they send their love to you. You know you've got a very special place in their heart. So, it's so good to be here. And we had a fantastic day yesterday. And for those of you who've not met me before, I live up in the north of England in a little village called Lym in Cheshire. Quite near Manchester, and live there with my husband Mark. We've been married for 38 years now, and we have two married daughters and three grandchildren and one on the way in February. So I'm really blessed, and I was actually sharing some of my testimony yesterday. If you haven't heard my whole testimony and you'd like to, I think it's been recorded. but basically, I was sick for the first 30 years of my life, diagnosed with autoimmune disease and told that I'd never be better. Grew up in a non-Christian home, but you know, it's God who has the last word. And basically, I got saved, I got completely healed. And when I was at my sickest, God spoke to me and he told me that I was going to take his healing power to the nations. And that's the title of my ministry, Healing to the Nations, and I do exactly what it says on the tin. So literally in the next few months, I'm going to be going to Macedonia, Bulgaria, Kosovo, back to Argentina, and we'll be seeing God do incredible things. And I was sharing a little bit with Terry earlier, you know, it's lovely to come to churches like this, but I also love to go to the nations and see God do, especially amongst the poor people who have nothing. But you know what they do have? They have faith in God. And we see God do absolutely amazing things. I was sharing last night some of the things we saw in Argentina last year, and just to see God setting lives free, it's just amazing. So I feel so blessed, and just to see how God can take someone who was so shy, so quiet because of missing so much schooling. And I know 100% it's him. And that really gives me a real assurance, not in myself, but in who he is. And so today I'm just going to carry on the theme really a little bit of talking about the anchor. But before I do that, I just want to share about the conference. Many of you know that I've worked with Jill Gifford for probably about 15 years now. I mean, I call her my spiritual mum. That sort of feel about her, hasn't she, those of you who know her? But basically, over the last 5 years or so, I've taken more of the work off of her so that she's free to just flow in her gift in her latter years. And so the conference that Jill used to, or two conferences that Jill used to run, I've now amalgamated into one, and we meet in the Holiday Inn in Telford. Some of you came last year and the year before that, I think. And we've just had an incredible time. We have amazing worship. I mean, you know, when you've got the freedom of a whole weekend, you can, you know, just really flow even more than you did this morning, as amazing as that was. But we have great speakers. We have Jill speaking. We have Wayne Goss, for those of you who know him. And we've got a guy coming from Belgium this time. He's a pastor I met when I went with Wayne and Gwen over to Belgium the first time, and just really connected with him. He came to speak at my local meeting last summer. And he's actually fluent in Greek and Hebrew, so that says what sort of Bible teacher he is. But he's also a very, very prophetic guy. He's only about 40, married with young children. But we're just so blessed to have him. When he came over last year, it was the first time he'd ministered in England. And so this will be the first conference he's done in England. And I'm really excited. So those of you who haven't booked in and would like to, the brochures are, I think there's some in the coffee area and some there. But we'd just be lovely to have you. I was jokingly saying yesterday, it'd be good if we could have a little minibus from River of Life. How cool would that be? So, you know, I think there's a few coming. So, yeah, just talk to them. So yesterday we were talking about anchor. So the scripture I was given by Jackie, and she organized the day so well, didn't she, ladies? We had an amazing time. So in Hebrews 6:19, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." So we went back in that passage and we explored it, because, you know, when you just take a scripture out of context, sometimes you don't get the full meaning. But we explored it and we saw how Abraham, basically, you know, the anchor was hope, the anchor was faith. And so we also looked at how we need, obviously, hope and faith in our life. We need the Spirit and the Word in our life. We looked at that yesterday afternoon. And today I want to look about how we need to hear the voice of God as well. How many of you discovered that, you know, when you get saved and you know, you're full of fire and you want to move on with God, but sometimes you don't quite know what God wants you to do? Many of you ever wondered about that? And I was talking to somebody yesterday, actually, and I just at the end of the day, and she said, you know, how do you know what God's called you to do? And I said, What gives you passion? What really inspires you? And sometimes I think we think that God is going to ask us to do something that is so unnatural to us. Now, I'm not saying God won't take you out of your comfort zone, because he certainly does that. And when I first started working with Jill, she certainly did that. Those of you who know Jill will know what I mean. I remember we were in Kenya once, and she'd been preaching on black and white reconciliation. And I'd only been a Christian, you know, a few years, and she passed the microphone to me, and she said, "And now you're going to lead the ministry time, Sarah." And I was like, "Oh my goodness!" But you know, it's times like that where you step out, isn't it? And you allow God to move through you. But when you're talking about callings and what God's called you to do, and hearing the voice of God, I think sometimes we make it so complicated. And today I just want to unpack a few scriptures for you, share a little bit of testimony, and just show you that you probably already know what your destiny and your calling is. But sometimes we think it's got to be some, you know, writing on the wall or voice from heaven. And some people have that. But majority of us, it's just an inward witness, isn't it? So in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, and I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture today. So if you just want to jot it down rather than turning, you know, whatever's easier for you. But I just want to read a lot of scripture, and I don't apologize for that, because I think, you know, there's power in the word of God. There's power in basing everything we talk about in the word. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, it says this. It says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You know, we need to be able to discern in these days what God is saying to each one of us as a church, but also individually. And we know the story in the beginning, you know, in Genesis 1, excuse me, in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. That was perfection, wasn't it? They had full fellowship with God. Everything was amazing. They walked and talked with God, the Bible tells us, in the cool of the day. And they had two-way communication. And you know, communication needs to be two-way. Have any of you ever just picked a phone up and someone's on the other end and you just talk at them and don't even listen to hear who's on the end? That would be very rude. But you wouldn't hear what the other person was saying. And then there's other occasions, is there, where you pick a phone up and before the person even says what the conversation's about, they'll just say hello and you know instantly who it is because you know that person. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him, that we have that two-way communication. And it goes on to tell us in Genesis 2:7 that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And in Genesis 3, it goes on to say that Satan came to man and he said, "Did God say?" Did God really say that? How many of you discovered that the enemy doesn't try anything new? Because he's still saying the same thing now, isn't he? You know, when I was believing God for my healing and standing in faith, you know, and I was battling symptoms, so many times the enemy would come to me and say, "Did God really say that by his stripes you're healed? You don't look very healed to me." You know, he's still saying, "Did God say?" Satan questioned man on who he was, the authority he had, and it's still the same now. And the only way we find out who we are in Christ is to get into the word. I want to tell you this morning, my brothers and sisters, you have all that you need, and you are exactly the person God created you to be. Look at your neighbor right now and just say, you are exactly who God made you to be. I think sometimes women especially, we can be very hard on ourselves and we compare ourselves to everybody else. And you know, I love it that God made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. You know, and then we know the story, don't we? The fall happened, Adam and Eve hid from the voice of God. But all through the Old Testament, you see this love-hate relationship where God is just trying, he's just drawing his people back. In Exodus 20 and verse 19, it says, "The people said to Moses, 'You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" They'd got to the place where they didn't even want to have anything to do with God. They just wanted someone in his place. You know, Satan did a good job in that respect. Man went from being in the Garden of Eden and having that great relationship to being afraid of his voice. And today, Satan's plan is no different. He wants to stop you communicating with God and hearing his voice. How many of you discovered that, you know, the enemy will do everything to distract you from spending time with God? Everything. From, especially in this day we live in now, technology and emails and all those things we do, but God wants us to have that time with him. And you know this, we know the story. There was 400 years of silence, and then John the Baptist arrived, and he said in Matthew 3 and verse 1, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" And then Jesus, John 1:1 and 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then we know Jesus was baptized, and as he was, the Father said this in Matthew 3 and verse 17. "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" That voice that was in the Garden of Eden, that voice was back. That voice was speaking over his Son. And you know, today, God is still speaking. He is still speaking. He's speaking right now. And you know, in this room, as we stand here right now, there are television waves, there are radio waves. And if you tuned in, you would hear hundreds, literally hundreds of different radio and television stations. And it's the same with the Lord. You know, we just need to tune in to hear his voice. And we just need to, sometimes I think in the world we live in, we're so busy, aren't we? And we just need to slow down and to hear his voice. It says in Acts 17 and verse 26, "He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." You know, he is nearer than your breath, and he wants to speak to you right now. In fact, he's speaking to you right now. Now, that may be in words, or it may just be in his peace, in his presence. Some of you have met Mark at the conference, and you know he's quite a quiet man, isn't he? I often say he's very quiet, but he's full of wisdom. And you know, often when we're together, I mean, it depends what, you know, you're like as husband and wife, but Mark and I, quite often we'll just be together and we don't even need to say anything. And sometimes we look at each other. Those of you who are married will know exactly what I'm talking about. You look at each other and you just know what the other person's thinking. You know what the other person's about to say. But how do you know that? Because you've got that communication. Because you've got that relationship. And you know, I think it's like that sometimes with the Lord. You know, he will, we watched a lovely clip yesterday, Joyce Meyer clip, and it was a clip where she was, you know, phoning God up. She used a telephone. And he was saying to her, you know, on this phone call, you know, "But I've already told you. I've already told you what I want you to do." And I think sometimes we're like that, you know. We're saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" And he's like, "I've already told you. I've already told you." I always think if God's not saying anything new, go back to the last thing he said to you. Are you still doing that? Because he probably hasn't changed his mind. Because God is like that. And you know, the Lord wants us to be led by the gentle leading of his Holy Spirit. And if we don't listen, sometimes he has to come a bit more direct with us. But you know, ideally, he wants us just to flow with him. So how do we activate being able to hear God's voice? Basically, it's through relationship. The whole of your Christian life is about relationship. It's about relationship with him, and it's about relationship with each other. But the way you do that is by having time with them. I would just say one of the keys is don't have any unforgiveness about anything. Keep a clean slate. You know, as I've gone on in my Christian life, if I'm ever upset by anything, you know, as much as I am able, at that moment, I will speak out, you know, I forgive them, Lord, and move on. Because I want to tell you, the more you hold on to those things, it will damage not only your relationship with those people, but your relationship with God. We want to keep that two-way communication going, don't we? And how do you know that it's God speaking? Well, the key to identifying the force is to spend hours and hours with the real. You know, people who work in banks, they handle money all the time, obviously. And if they see a counterfeit note, how many of you know they know which one's not right? Because they know what the real is. And if you spend time with the Lord and he get to know his voice, and as I say, it may not be a booming voice from above, but just that gentle whisper or that gentle knowing. When something comes along, you'll just know that that's not him. That's not him. You know, if you've got a friend and you hear something about them that you think is so out of character, how many of you would say, you know, you'd defend that friend, wouldn't you, and say, that doesn't sound like Jackie. That doesn't sound like Jackie to me, because you know her. You know that person. And it's the same with the Lord, you know. As you spend time with him, you will get to know his voice. You know, I love that story with Isaac, Jacob, and Esau in Genesis 27, you know. Jacob, Isaac's younger son, wanted the blessing that belonged to his older brother Esau. And Jacob had to convince the father to speak blessing over of him in order to get it. And Jacob deceived his father. But how did he do that? You know, Isaac should have actually discerned the fraud if he'd trusted his ears. You know, we know the story where he put fur on his arms and all of that. But, you know, we have to be careful, because sometimes the voice of error can sound very similar. But it says in John 4, it says, he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I want to tell you this morning, you know the voice of God. You might not recognize it as the voice of God, but you do know his voice. You know, there's a story of Peter and John, isn't there, in Acts 16 and verse 16. It's a story of this woman, and she was saying all the right things. She was saying that they were servants of the Most High God, but she was speaking by the wrong spirit. And how many of you ever discovered that sometimes you'll hear something, but it just doesn't feel right? You know, we just need to, we were talking yesterday about just growing in that gift of discernment. We need to discern between the voice of God, the voice of the devil, the voice of people, and our own inner voice. I want to tell you, God is not the author of confusion. Tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Always stay with where you have peace, whatever you're doing. In Proverbs 20 and verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. We need to become more spirit conscious. And as I say, in this world of busyness that we live in, sometimes we just need to stop. Have peace. You know, I love to get out into nature, and you're so blessed here with that sea. I'm so jealous. I was brought up in Leon Sea in Essex, so I love the seaside, and it's just so nice just to be able to go out and walk by the sea. But yeah, just to have space, it's so good. You know, God is spirit, and we communicate with him by our spirit. The Bible tells us deep calls unto deep. We don't hear him with our natural ears. We hear him with our spiritual ears. So let's have some practical examples of how to hear God. You know, I think if you've been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the best ways is to pray in tongues and then go quiet and see what the Lord says. Jill does. I know Jill does practical examples of this sometimes, but it's a really good practice to do, just to hear God. Tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. You know, Jesus talks to us spirit by spirit. And in the Old Testament, God dwelt in temples with an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. But now he dwells in you and me. How amazing is that? I don't think we really even grasp that, have we really? That the God of the universe dwells in you and me. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a good picture, if you like, is that our body represents the outer court, our soul is, our mind is the inner court, but our spirit is the holy of holies. That's where we communicate with God, spirit to spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the spirit of God dwells in you? So when God leads us, he doesn't lead us by the flesh, he leads us by the spirit, spirit to spirit. In 1 Peter 3:4, it says, let it be the hidden person of the heart. And God works in different ways. He works to us, speaks to us through our spirit, our inner man. And it can be an audible voice, a still small voice, or just a knowing. How many of you have ever had just a prompting to go and visit someone? Or I've had the, you know, I'm sure you've had this, you know, the phone rings and you think, I know who that is. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know, I think sometimes we just think all these things are just, oh, well, you know. But we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. In Acts 17 and verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. You know, I often say your ministry is where, is whatever stirs your spirit or whatever really grips you. And this is often the ministry that you're called to. Now for me, because of, you know, my background of healing and seeing God heal me and obviously others, sometimes when I'm in a supermarket or I'm in a cafe and I see someone who's really sick, for example, when I was in Mallorca with Jill a couple of weeks ago, and this was this little child and he was covered in like blisters. He'd obviously got, you know, a skin disease. And it was all that I could do to not go and speak to the parents. I didn't want to obviously embarrass them or anything, but I just prayed for him right there and then where I was. You know, wherever you have that passion, that is where your ministry is likely to be. And, you know, always go with your gut feeling, what motivates and drives you. We need to be led by our spirit and then to be obedient to what we hear. In Romans 8:14, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, the Lord can also give you, he can buy it. The Bible talks in Acts 20 verse 22, it says, this is Paul speaking, and see, I now go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. God can give you a passion for a place or a country. Any of you experience that? You know, when I was first born again and the Lord spoke to me about taking his healing power to the nations, and the two places that I really had a passion about going to were South America and the Far East. Now, I haven't been to the Far East yet, but I've been to lots of other places. I've been to America, I've been all over Europe, I've been over to the Balkans, done quite a lot of work there. But I'd never been to Argentina or to anywhere in South America. And I remember it was last, I've been working with a man called Jonathan Conrath quite a lot recently, Mission 24, any of you who know him. But I head up his women's ministry now, and well, he also calls me associate evangelist. I don't know that I would give myself that name. I'd just Sarah as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, last autumn he got in touch with me and he said, we're going to do a mission to Argentina. Would you be interested in coming, Sarah? And immediately my spirit leapt. Now, I've been a Christian 30 years this year, and I'm not saying you'll have to wait that long. But, you know, I just knew that was right. And it was funny, as I walked up the stairs, afterwards, and I just heard the voice of God say to me, yes, it's time for you to go. And I'd been sorting out my study at that time, and I'd got this pile of diaries. And I don't know why I did it, but I just went in and picked one out of the middle, opened the back of it, and it was a prophecy I'd been given probably 20, 25 years ago. And in the back of it, it said, you will go to Argentina, you will go to, and it named other places. And you know, that was just my confirmation of God speaking, not writing on a wall. But I knew then 100% that was right for me to go. And as I say, we went and we're going again this year. But sometimes we need to just be led by the Spirit and hear what God is saying to us. And I want to just give you this word of caution, if you like. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. You know, sometimes I think we rush into things too quickly. You know, God is never in a rush. God leads, the devil drives. You know, he is a good, good shepherd. How many of you know a shepherd will look after the sheep and lead them to places of safety where there's good food. So if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. In Isaiah 28 and verse 16, whoever believes will not act hastily. And in Proverbs 3:6, and we all know this one. It's all on our fridge magnets. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And you know, I've just discovered it's so much easier to be led by the Lord than try and do it in your own strength. You know, every ministry I've been connected with, every invitation, you know, I have never asked to speak anywhere, ever. And I never will. Because I don't want to be anywhere that God hasn't opened the door. I'll only go where he leads, where he guides. And you know what? That gives you such a rest, such a peace, such a knowing that God's in all of that. John 10 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by my own. There's so many scriptures about God leading us. Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So how does the Lord guide us? Well, I've got 6 points here. I'm just going to finish with it. 7 points. I'm just going to finish with it. First way he guides is through inner conviction. Always go with your gut feeling. How many of you have ever had a feeling that God's leading you somewhere and you just know it's right, but in your head you think, this is crazy? I want to tell you that's probably God, because he doesn't work the way we think we should go sometimes. And I've had that so many times, you know, just go with your gut feeling. Go with your heart. You know, he can give you words, pictures. You know, I remember when we lived in Nottingham, before we moved over to Lynn, where we are now. And every time I prayed, I had the word Utrington. Now, it's a strange word, isn't it? And, you know, I didn't really know what that was about. And every time I prayed, I used to see black and white buildings, cobbles, and there was this little blonde-haired girl. And I just sort of kept praying. And at the time in Nottingham, I was childminding, but I didn't look after any blonde-haired little girls. Anyway, eventually we decided we were going to move over to the Lynn, Altrincham area. We were looking at houses. And when we got to Lynn, we found there's a place in Lynn called Altrincham. And our daughter was starting at, she was still at primary school then, and she actually went to Altrincham School. And there her teacher had just been diagnosed with ME. And I was able to help her, talk to her. I actually led her to the Lord. Her whole family got saved, and they came to church. And in Lynn, if you've any of you been there, it is. It's black and white buildings, cobbles. And I then started to childmind and looked after a little girl called Rosie, who had white blonde hair. But that was the Lord just leading and guiding. As I say, not writing on the wall, but just being obedient. And the more you do that, the more it gives you faith for more. And I remember at the beginning when I first got saved, and, you know, I'm a dreamer. Any of you who want to be dreamers, I'll pray for the gift of interpretation and pray for that today, because it's just such a gift. But, you know, I remember at the beginning seeing God healing little black babies. You know, I've had the privilege of going to Africa and seeing God do exactly that. Number two, God guides through his word. We were talking about this yesterday, and if you want a bit more information, you can maybe get the CD. But the word and the spirit always agree. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need the spirit. Number three, God guides through prophetic confirmations. God can confirm through someone else something he's already spoken to you. I'm sure many of you have experienced that. And you know that's the true prophetic word. You know, I've been in meetings where people have been given words, you know, and afterwards people say, well, you didn't look very surprised. And it's like, no, because God had already spoken that to you. But that's the best way to receive a prophetic word, that it's confirmation. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, for he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. If it's not any of those things, you know, you have to be very careful. I'm sure we've all experienced that. Number four, God guides through godly counsel. Before making any major decision, I would encourage you to get some good friends, some people in the church, people in authority, just to pray with you. Because it says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's why it's so important. You know, like J. John, he has a board of trustees, doesn't he? And it's so important that we all have people that we can turn to. You know, I feel so blessed. I've got an amazing husband, a pastor who supports me, and a spiritual dad in Wingos. So I feel very safe. And we all need that. We need that safety. Number five, God can guide through circumstances. Now, we've experienced that as a family quite a few times. You know, Mark worked in the insurance industry, and often, you know what it's like, companies get bought out and things happen. And he was made redundant twice. But looking back, and we were talking about this yesterday, it's not until you look back sometimes, but looking back, I see the hand of God in that. Because at one point, Mark was traveling all over the country for Prudential Insurance, and then he was made redundant, or the company was bought out. But, you know, the job he got was much better because he was at home. And then more recently, you know, again, the company was bought out, and he went to work at the local council, and he was able to import some godly stuff into there. So as I look back, I see how God guided that. At the time, it felt horrendous, but sometimes it's not till we look back, is it? And that song we sang today, you know, he has been so, so good. He has been faithful. He has been faithful to every one of us. And maybe you're in a storm today, you know, but as we were talking yesterday, you know, let God be your anchor. Let your trust and faith be your anchor. Number six, God guides through his peace. Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Never do anything that robs you of your peace. I remember again when we were living in Nottingham, and we were trying to get over to Lyme, and because of school timings and everything, so that the girls could start in September. And we found this rental house, and we were going to go for that. But you know, I had no peace about it. And then miraculously, this house that we'd been looking at suddenly came up for sale again. And we were able to get, we moved in literally the day before the girls started school. But as I was sharing yesterday, you know, God's very rarely early, but he's never late. He's never late. And number seven, God guides through provision. You know, where God guides, he provides. And that's another thing. You know, I never ask for money because I think if God's asked me to go somewhere, he'll provide it. Yeah. You don't need to beg. You don't need to do any of those things. If God's in it. You know, last year when I was invited to Argentina, I never asked for a penny, but three people gave me, and it covered the airfare and more, enough for my, you know, food and stuff while I was there. To the penny. I'm just going to finish with this testimony of God's faithfulness. You know, the first trip I went on with Jill was to Jamaica, and I'd only, that was my first mission trip, so I'd been a child minder. I had no experience of walking the life of faith, and Mark was a little bit wary of me giving up the job because obviously it was less money coming in and all of that, but I kept saying to him, no, God will provide, he'll provide. And so Mark, bless him, paid for the airfare, believing that he'd get the money back. And so we booked in, you know, we'd booked the flight. We got two or three weeks before, still no money. Week before, still no money. Jill and I arrived at the airport, still no money. We were just about to check in, and we saw a sign, and it said, flight cancelled. We were supposed to be speaking at a conference the next day. And so Jill, you know what Jill's like, and she was like, oh, what are we going to do, you know? And they said, look, don't worry. We're going to get you on a flight to New York tonight, put you in a five-star hotel, and fly you to Jamaica next morning. Is that okay? So we said, yeah, fantastic, that's great. So we got our tickets. We were all set to go. They said, well, just a minute, before you go, we just need to give you some compensation. And so we went over to the desk to fill in these forms, me of little faith, thinking we might get like £50 or something back. They gave us back the whole amount, the whole flight. So then I got on the phone to Mark and said, God's just provided. It was literally the 11th hour. But God is faithful. So I just want to encourage you today, you know, Let the anchor of your soul be cemented in God, in His Word, with His Spirit, listening to His voice. Tonight we're going to talk about the anointing and flowing with the Holy Spirit. But let all those things be your anchor, because there is such safety and security in all of that. I just want to pray for you. Yeah, Father, I just thank you for this beautiful church, Lord, your church. Father, I just thank you for their faith, Lord, for their trust in you, their hope in you, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for this weekend, Lord, that we've just been able to explore, Lord, about how you are so faithful. We've heard, Lord, how we need to flow with the Spirit and Word, Lord, to hear your voice, to let you be our anchor. And Father, I just pray for them going forward, Lord, both as a church, but also individually, Lord, that you will be their anchor. And Father, I thank you that you have an incredible destiny for each one of them, Lord. And Lord, that you, as you all put your faith and trust in him, I just see it's almost like you're going on an amazing journey trip with the Lord. So Father, I just pray for them all now. I bless them in Jesus' name. I thank you for them. Amen. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up. And, you know, we'd love to pray for you this morning. As you heard, we saw some amazing miracles yesterday. And I just believe God's in the business of doing miracles. And so if you need direction for your life today, if you've never given your life to Jesus and you would like to do that, then please come and speak to one of us. Or if you would like prayer for healing, we'd be honored to pray for you right now. So should we stand to our feet? I'm going to hand back to Jackie now, but if you'd like prayer, please do come forward and we'd be honored to pray for you. Amen.